Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, the host of the program. Well, we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and that's where we're going to pick up today. Thought I'd pick up on a New Testament verse that came to my mind as I was exiting the program last time. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, and let's just start chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. When are the last days? Well, that would be today, wouldn't it? Aren't these the last days? I mean, Paul wasn't giving prophecy to Timothy here. He was talking about what he was going to deal with in the time that he was living in, the last days. So these are the last days. They've been the last days for 2,000 years. Now, there's, you know, as you get closer to the end, it becomes more imperative to realize that, yes, Yahshua, Jesus is coming. The nations, the times of the nations, times of the Gentiles, same thing, is coming nearer to its end. Obviously, it hasn't ended yet, because I still see those ungodly men out there ruling over the nations, lording it over one another. But Paul's talking to Timothy here. For know ye also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Well, if they're lovers of their own selves, it begs the question, what are they supposed to be loving instead of themselves? What are they neglecting by focusing on themselves? Well, they're neglecting our Heavenly Father, number one. They're neglecting God and their wives and their children and their family and their fellow man. Lovers of selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Well, I think we're here. I think we have definitely arrived, because I see all of these things are endemic in our society. Disobedient to parents. That's where the Proverbs left us. And let's go back to our reference in Proverbs. We left off at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Disobedient to parents. When does a man stop being obedient to his parents? When does a man not hearken unto his father? I mean, what does hearken mean? Well, it means to, first of all, to listen, to give your attention, to hear intelligently. Let's read the primitive root, to hear intelligently, often with implication of attention, obedience, causatively, attentively, and on it goes. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee. So we're talking about your earthly father that begot thee. Hearken to him. And then Paul repeats it in the New Testament, that men will be lovers of themselves. And he goes on with the description of some of the other characteristics of these men that are lovers of themselves. And he lists disobedient to parents. When do you stop being disobedient to your parents? I mean, when do you stop obeying your parents? When can you stop obeying your parents? Well, when your parents operate in an authority that they don't have. For instance, if your parents want you to do something that is against the commandments of our Heavenly Father, well, then you stop. But hearken. Listen. Intelligently consider what your father has to say. Why? Well, because we're to honor our mother and our father. We're to rise up before the gray-headed ones, the hoary-head, the aged, the older. We're supposed to show them honor. And Paul said, men will be lovers of themselves. Men. He's talking about grown men. He isn't talking about little children. He's talking about men. Well, I guess under the best of circumstances, we have families that stay together. Another clue here is, despise not thy mother when she is old. I'm going to tell you what. A lot of people think they do well to place their parents in a good institutional old age home. Somehow I think that's somewhat despising them. I think that would be the opposite of not despising them, putting them off somewhere. I can't judge anybody's circumstance. Everyone has to stand before the Heavenly Father and live according to the dictates of their own conscience. Of course, hopefully, whatever decisions we make, we don't make them with a seared conscience. Perhaps we've made decisions in the past we need to repent for. We need to reverse those decisions. Just things to think about here as we read the words of wisdom from the preacher here, the author of the Proverbs. Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Everyone knows what that means to them. And I believe if you search your heart, rather than just justify your own ways and your own desires in your own eyes, be wise in your own eyes, in other words, if you diligently seek the Heavenly Father's will, I'm certain that He will tell you what pleases Him. And then you have to step out on faith and to do it, believing that He will provide whatever you need to keep His commandments. You know, He does that. He honors, the Heavenly Father honors us when we're obedient. That's how He honors us when we're obedient. When we step out in faith and we do something in order to please Him, in order to keep His commandments, then we realize that it's up to Him to provide what we need in order to do what He's commanded us. I mean, what would it be like if you went to work and you have a job and you have to put something together and your boss says to you, well, here's a box of nothing. Out of this, I want you to assemble this widget. Well, that wouldn't work very well, would it? You have nothing to work with. The box is empty. Well, the box looks empty. See, our Heavenly Father wants us to move out on faith, knowing that He's going to provide everything we need in that box exactly when we need it, because that's how the just walk by faith. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. Yes, buy the truth and sell it not. Yes, truth for sale, right? No, where can you buy the truth? You can't plunk your money down and say, you know, give me an ounce of truth, or give me 10 pounds of truth, or I'll take 3 tons of truth. What does it mean? And sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Primitive root, ka-na, from the Hebrew. I decided to look into this. It means to erect, that is, create, by extension, to procure, especially by purchase, causatively, by implication, to own, attain, buy, you get the idea, to keep, possess, purchase, recover, redeem, buy the truth, obtain the truth. And it says, sell it not. And what does it mean to sell? You don't trade it for anything. You don't merchandise the truth. And that's why, you know, most ministry websites, if you go to my ministry website, which is crosstheborder.org, and everything there is available for free. No one has to pay to listen to these programs, because we're not selling the truth. We're giving it away, because we want people to obtain it. And then once you obtain that truth, we don't want you to trade it for anything. We don't want you to allow someone to come along and say, well, that ain't really true, without showing you in the scripture where the error is. And so far, you know, I often put out the challenge, please, 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 if you find that I am erring on anything in these Bible studies, if you think I'm wrong, please show me. You know, go to your e-sword.com, download the Bible program, and you'll get the King James Version plus the Hebrew and Greek. That's all you really need. Open it up and look at the Greek, look at the Hebrew, look at the scriptures, look at the context of the whole chapter before you tell me I'm wrong in something, and then come back and show me chapter and verse where I'm wrong. Please, you know, I beg of anyone out there that thinks I'm wrong, you know, to show me that kindness, because that would be a kindness if you correct me. I mean, I've been reading through wisdom, through the book of Proverbs, and it says, a wise man, you know, is made wiser when he's reproved or corrected. How many times does the proverb say something similar to that? you know, dozens of times. And I declared, I want to be wise. So reprove me, correct me, please. I guess my mother must be doing a pretty good job here because nobody's taken up the challenge yet. But, you know, I welcome it. I really do. I would welcome it if someone finds that I'm in error on something. Buy the truth and sell it not. You obtain the truth by whatever means you can. You know, that's, well, there's another one of those, because I keep thinking of these lamb-like attributes that were embodied in this nation when it was established. These lamb-like attributes, and one of these lamb-like attributes is the freedom of press and the right to redress of grievances. And this all hinges on the truth, obtaining the truth, investigation. You know, we see that our good friend Luke, he wrote a gospel, and he wrote the book of Acts, and in that book of Acts, he declares, he's writing to someone called Theophilus, at least that's the way the name is presented in the King James Version, and he explains how he's investigating, how he's interviewing people, how he's searching these things out. As a matter of fact, he is acting more as an investigative journalist, and you see that through his book, The Gospel of Luke, and he proclaims that in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, and you see that he eventually, in the middle of the book of Acts, he catches up with Paul. And before where he was reporting, where he was reporting all of the things that he found out as he was buying the truth, so to speak, suddenly he's not reporting in the third person anymore. He's reporting in the first person. He's joined the fray. And you find that in the middle of the book of Acts when you study it in depth. And it's a wonderful thing to see that this man went out and searched for the truth. He bought the truth. And that's what it means. You seek the truth. And when you hear something like many people, when they hear 911 was an inside job, they just think, no, you know, I heard on the news it isn't. And they leave it at that. And the proverb says, you simple-minded, buy the truth and sell it not. And to buy the truth, it means to procure the truth, to find it, whatever it takes. If you have a question that comes up in your mind, if someone says something, and if you're a lover of the truth, if you're one of these people that they're out there, you know, any price to find out what the truth is, it doesn't matter. Because we love the truth, and that's what we're out to procure. And if someone says something like 911 was an inside job, that what the mainstream media has sold us over the television, and the mouth of the beast got up there and said, let us never entertain outrageous conspiracy theories, something like that. Well, those of us that love the truth, we ain't just going to pick and say, well, this is comfortable. This is what I've already been told. This is what I want to believe. I'm going to say, well, you know what? I may not want to believe that, but I'm going to look into it because I want to know the truth. That's what it's all about. Buy the truth. And once you buy the truth, you don't sell it at any cost. You know, there are a lot of people. They'll find the truth, but they might lose their job if they open their mouth. They've sold it. They've sold the truth. And guess what? They'll lose the truth. And they'll fall into deception and error. So many people sell the truth for things, for fear, for whatever reason, for their career. They sell the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. You obtain the truth and you don't let it go for any cause whatsoever. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So let's read the whole thing here. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And that's what comes with the truth. If you love the truth, you're going to get wisdom. You're going to be instructed by that truth. And you're going to understand what in the world is really going on. Verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. And she that bore thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait, as for a prey, and increases the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? And who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, and I would add to that drugs, dissipation, any form of dissipation. Look not thou upon wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold, strange woman, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yes, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. And when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And there you go. You know, they have clubs, little buildings. They call them clubs, nightclubs, you know, where you can go and you can practice what here the scripture warns us against. You know, drinking, wine bibbing, or there are places where you can go and do drugs with, you know, drug houses and so forth. And of course, you'll find the loose women there and of course loose men. And there you have it. It's a deep ditch and a narrow pit. And at the last they say, they have stricken me, I was not sick, they have beaten me and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Yes, they awake, only to seek it again. That's the nature of addiction. I would be afraid. I've been afraid my whole life to go near it. And that fear of falling into that addiction. I've seen it. You know, I saw it early on in my teenage years. I saw the drug addicts. I saw nothing attractive about the life they were living, about the stupor of their mind. I saw nothing attractive. Just put the fear in me. I would never go near it. It doesn't mean that I haven't had a glass of wine and perhaps drank a little too much a couple times in my life, but what I learned through those occasions was that I hated it. That's what I learned. I learned the truth. And I found wisdom in it. And the wisdom was to stay away from it. Be not thou envious against evil men. We're in chapter 24 and verse 1 of Proverbs. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul when thou hast found it. Then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord, fear thou Yahuwah, and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change, for their calamity shall rise suddenly. just a phrase went through my mind. Change you can believe in. Yeah, a meaningless phrase. Yes, there have been people throughout history that have believed in change. The hundreds of thousands, or perhaps millions, of righteous Germans that were slaughtered by the fascist government of Nazi Germany. The millions of Jews, well, that were slaughtered by Hitler's Nazis. They believed in change. Yes, change you can believe in. What a statement. I'm afraid of that change. I'm afraid that I can believe in it. I'm afraid I'm not going to like it. I think we don't need to change. I think we need to go back to what is good. We need to restore what is a sure thing, and that is the law of our God and righteousness in a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Now, that's change I'd like to see, but I don't think that that's what the mouth that wants to be the mouth of the beast is going to provide for us. I don't think his change is going to be to righteousness. I think it's going to be just more of the same. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere.